Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Good morning to Daniel Midgley. How are you?
Good, 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 good.
Daniel, we've been talking about memorable road trips and the one thing you remember about a road trip that maybe doesn't exist today. Do you have a memory?
Every year we used to head down to Utah, 15-hour drive in the car.
Oh, that's hard.
Punishing. But then when I, like the summer of 1984, I got my first Walkman, so it was all Depeche Mode. And
brilliant.
And all, else? Lots of Erasure and stuff like that. No, it couldn't have been Erasure. Wrong time.
Mm.
But yeah, just listening all the way up. Oh, Sex Pistols, all the way up, all the way back. If my parents had known what I was listening to, they would have
yanked that headphone out.
They might have
thrown it out the window. Even though we can't hear it, you're not listening to that rubbish.
Yeah, that's right. Bad social influence, but great fun to listen to.
Just to put you in the mood. Holiday, vacation, all of those fantastic.
Oh yeah,
funny films, off to Wally World and everything equivalent to do that. Well, I reckon a lot of people would have had the you know what was it, the super not super eight that was a film. What did you call the
eight-track?
Cassettes? Yeah, the 8-tracks. Do you remember 8-tracks?
They're just called cassettes.
Well, they're about 10 times the size.
Oh, no, I was much more
and they stopped
modern design. Than that. We had the normal cassettes, you know,
really?
With the brown tape. They were not big.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk words, language. 1-300-222-720 is the number. If you have any question for Daniel, he's here to answer them today. Or you can text, as some of you are, and I'll get to those in a moment. The number is 0437-922-720. Now, irony.
Yes.
The meaning of irony.
People get funny about this one.
Mm.
Friend of mine, doesn't matter who, lamented the fact that the New York Times mini crossword had irony as one as four down. And the clue was the fact that Nintendo of America's new CEO is named Doug Bowser. Bowser, of course, is the iconic villain in the Super Mario world. And now he's in charge, Doug Bowser. Is that ironic? This friend didn't think so. She thought that irony was not something like amusingly apt or just coincidental. But I would like to say to my dear friend, a word means what people intend to mean when they use it, and over periods of time this can change. And irony has meant many things over the years. In the 1500s, it just meant sarcasm. If you said, I did it ironically, then you actually did it sarcastically. But then in the 1600s, it changed. It started to mean feigned ignorance. And people would talk about Socrates, you know, how he would pretend not to know anything. And that was Socratic, but it was also ironic. But now the more modern meaning that people think now is the real meaning is, and I'm going to pull this from Oxford because I love a good definition.
Yeah.
A state of affairs or an event that seems deliberately contrary to what was or what might be expected, an outcome cruelly, humorously, or strangely at odds with assumptions or expectations. That one is only since the mid-1800s.
They're all so different.
And yet they all have this kind of similar thread running through them, you know, something different than you would expect or something opposite or, you know, you expected one thing, but then you got another. And now it kind of is morphing to mean coincidence.
Coincidentally.
Like rain on your wedding day.
Oh, how ironic.
You're not going to play that song, are you? No!
Oh, my gosh. Ironic by Alanis Morissette.
Go figure. Russell pulls it out. I know that I knew that this was going to happen just from the What Is Love moment we had a few weeks ago.
Okay. Okay. You go play with your music. I'm learning here.
No, that's good. And again, I'm in awe of your liberal acceptance of meanings. I really am.
Meaning jumps. We see it all the time.
And a new meaning for irony, the opposite of wrinkly, according to one texter.
This was the crispest shirt in all the annals of irony.
Okay, let's go through some of these questions and then a couple on the text that we'll get to as well. 0437-922-720.
I love this one because I will say an historic day.
An historic day. Sid asks, which is correct, an historic or an historic or ahistoric?
Ahistoric.
I suspect an historic as in an hour, but then why not an hotel?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it used to be an hotel.
Really?
Yes. It used to be a lot more variable than it is now. In the 1800s, people said hospital and hotel and herb without the H. And then British English speakers gave it an H, all those words, because it was fashionable at the time. Americans kind of did, like with hotel, but they didn't do it with herb. So now I say it's an herb.
And in hour, you don't really pronounce the H.
No.
And hour.
And hour.
No, you don't say a hour.
Meet me here.
1 hour ago.
So this is.
No, it's a solid H. An hour.
Correct. That's right. But back to an historic. Which one is more common in books? Guess.
An.
I would have thought.
Nope. Ahistoric, much more common in books and has been since the 1940s.
I don't understand it.
If you say an historic, that's fine, but you're in a bit of a minority. So, look, it's not like the Queen started saying an historic and everyone started copying her. It's just that people used to drop the H, then they started adding in H, and now Americans just kind of kept dropping H's. You know, this is one of those where Americans get flack for doing something because everyone thinks, oh, those Americans did a new thing. No, they just kept the old thing.
So like, they blame the Americans for everything.
Same with aluminium, by the way. Used to be aluminum. Then
It's never been aluminum.
It's always been aluminum until...
Not here.
Not here. But the British folks started saying aluminium because they wanted it to be like strontium and barium, but Americans kept doing it the old way.
Ah.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to go back to irony for a moment. There's a T-shirt. Somebody has texted a T-shirt, and it says irony, the opposite of wrinkly.
Very good.
And it's a, yeah.
It's a T-shirt that needs an iron. But it's her husband's T-shirt.
Mm.
And the best part is that you don't have to iron that T-shirt. You can just wrinkle it up and then wear it. It's part of the joke.
It's a perfect travel shirt.
Now,
I love saying an historic.
An historic. An historic. An historic. But you can get lazy then and say an historic. I know I can get a little bit lazy with my language, as is often pointed out on the text, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Cambridge Guide to English Usage has a great quote. Its use is a stylistic nicety lending historical nuances to discourse in which tradition dies hard. Isn't that good?
Yeah, very good. 927. And we're with Daniel Midgley, who is a linguist and also the host of Talk the Talk podcast. Your calls are welcome, 1-300-222-720. Or you can text 0437-922-720. If we get your calls, we'll pop them through to Daniel and he can help you straight away.
Why does someone or something...
Oh, this is good.
Why does something fit someone to a T?
Ah.
Is it the letter T or is it T-E-A? Or is it T as in T-shirt? What's the T?
To a T.
Brendan
to a
asked tea. This one. Yes. Brendan says, what does to a T mean? Okay, I got a quiz for you. Is it a T-square, that instrument the drafters use when they're drawing very precisely?
That's good. That's
Didn't
good.
Think of that.
I need the other choice.
Is it a T-shirt that fits you very well? Is it a tittle or a tiny, tiny part of a letter like the dot on an I? Or is it an actual T, like a golf T, or maybe even a T in curling where you've got to land on that precise spot? What do you like?
T-shirt.
Okay. It's too early for T-shirt. It appears before T-shirt.
So, of course. Okay.
And so then what was your first one again? I'm sorry.
A T-square.
T-square?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
You like that one?
Yeah.
No. Go. What was the other one?
Well, there's a tittle. A tiny part of a letter.
Yeah, that sounds old and worldy, olden days.
And we've only got two options left now.
Yeah, yep. So I'm going for that.
That's the one you got on the second try.
Oh, well done.
Nice. It's first recorded in a play of 1607. The title of the play was Woman Hater, which sounds weird for 1607. I'll quote him to a tittle. That's the first time we see it. And it's just one of those little tiny strokes. Actually, there's an interesting story behind this. We see the phrase jots and tittles. You've heard this, right?
No.
Okay, maybe not. If you have the biblical tradition back there in your background, then you might have heard it. But the jot is the letter iota, the smallest one. It's our letter I, and we also say, and I won't give him one iota.
Iota, yes.
But nowadays, pouring the tea, not to a tea, but pour the tea means have a gossip. This was gay slang in the 1970s, because when you pour the tea, you have a bit of gossip.
Right.
So, and also, someone's going to drop the truth on you. That's another form of tea.
Yes.
Shut the front door.
Shut the front door.
Now, she's rocking. And can I just check? Tittle is, as it sounds, T-I-T-T-L-E.
That is correct. And just got shortened, just got clipped. Tittle.
Can we use the word tittle? Is it literally the stroke on a T and the dot on an I?
It's any small sort of stroke in writing. It could be the dot over an I or a J, it could be the crossbar and a T.
Yeah.
Other languages, other writing systems have smaller marks than we do.
1300 222 720. Daniel would love to talk to you if you've got a question. A couple of quick ones off the text. Now, Mike, he's got a family debate on at the moment. H or H? A school teacher is punishing a child for saying H.
I wish people wouldn't do that. People are tribal about this stuff, right? I remember as a kid, an H sayer, and I heard my first British kid saying H, and I thought, well, that's ridiculous. But then I got a bit older, and I realized, wait a minute, other letters have the sound of that letter in the name of the letter.
Which kind of makes sense.
Why not H? My little two-year-old daughter says H instead of H. So she's a H sayer. That's all right.
Okay, Mike. So stick with H.
Stick with H if you want to.
Yeah. Push back on the teacher, Mike. Challenge her.
That's right.
Him.
Yeah.
Fridge.
Fridge.
We spell fridge with a D, but refrigerator doesn't have a D. That's from Sally in Freo. Good question. Why?
My question is, why don't we say refrigerator? But maybe that would be a double G in there. The word refrigerator goes back quite a ways to Dickens. He didn't describe it as a refrigerator. It wasn't the appliance. It was a person who had a refrigerating quality, a cold person. So you have frigare, which is Latin to freeze or to be cold. No, it's not that. And then when people, so it was going along happily with just a G, but then when people shortened it, then it got funny because G acts funny when you've got an E after it. It could be J or it could be G. So, you know, what do you do? Well, just make it clear, stick a D in there. Everything is good. It's a bit bodgy, but then so are refrigerators.
Right.
Yeah.
I suppose that's better than spelling it with a J, you know?
Well, I do. When I write a fridge, I say F-R-I-J.
Mm.
Why not?
Mm. Mm. 4 to 7. Let me just say, this is a woman in the US reacting to her makeover on morning television.
Oh, my God!
Incredible.
Shut the front door.
Here we go.
Shut the front door.
Now, I
love that saying.
I once said on radio... you could add a feather to add a feather to one's bow.
Ah, I love that one.
Boa? Bow.
Bow.
Well, I said bow.
Bow is his bow and arrow.
Yeah. And I realised immediately, I stopped in my tracks and I was like, wait on, what have I done? What have I done there? And when you're live on radio, it's kind of hard sometimes on your own to work that stuff out.
Boas have feathers, but bows don't usually, do they?
No.
The arrows do.
Yes.
What's going on? Well, this is a mixed metaphor. You know, you have a string to your bow, which is an extra skill that you can do, or a feather in your cap, which is a special accomplishment. Mix them together, and you've got a feather in your bow, rather improbably. Funny thing about feather in your cap, though, it didn't used to be a good thing. It used to mean that you were a bit of a fop.
A fop.
A fop, a dandy. Maybe you've heard that silly American song, Yankee Doodle.
Yes.
Stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni. What's the deal with macaroni?
Yeah, don't know. Stuck a feather in his cap and called it
macaroni. Because it rhymed with pony. I think that's probably why.
It does, but...
And that's pretty much the only reason.
No, there is
more. Is there more? Yeah.
There's more.
Oh.
A macaroni was a wealthy young man who traveled around Europe in the 1700s. They would come back and they would sound foppish and dress in crazy clothes. But the Yankee Doodle character in this song is trying hard. He's sticking a feather in his cap, thinking that he's one of these fashionable young men. But as silly as Yankee Doodle is, he did give us a new word, we think, and that is a dude.
Where?
Which used to be a fop, but now is a pretty cool dude. So the word has come up in the years. So it's from Yankee Doodle, we think.
A dude is short from doodle.
Dude.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
Oh, can I? This is another one of those moments, everyone.
The language is full of these things.
If this is like raspberry.
Open yourself.
Oh, yes. Yes.
If I can remind you, that is rhyming slang for strawberry tart. Yes. Raspberry tart.
Oops. Raspberry tart.
Raspberry tart.
Strawberry.
Nobody blows strawberries.
Philippa on the text would like to know where hoi polloi comes from.
It's Greek. And a lot of people say the hoi polloi, which is kind of funny because the hoi part actually means the. So you're kind of saying the polloi.
Like the ATM.
Yeah, kind of.
Now, it's now it is very interesting that you mention the word the because Pete would like to know, what are the rules regarding the use of the word the? When do you say the and when do you say the?
Oh, right. The tends to come, if you're listening, before vowel sounds, so the empty void, whereas the refrigerator. So vowel sounds give you the sometimes, certain vowels. I haven't thought this through. And then most consonants will give you a the. But that can change depending on the situation. And, you know, some people have started to say stuff like a alien or a apple.
We've got 30 seconds to go.
This one came from Mitch. I did want you to know that from listening to you, you've taken the, I want to say anger, but that's not what I feel. It's more frustration away when I hear people misspeaking. Your wise words have calmed me down and made the Nazi in me shut up, so thank you.
Oh,
thanks, Mitch, from Mandurah. Love you.
That's and made it all worthwhile.
I think so.
And thank you, Daniel Midgley, host of the podcast Talk the Talk. Please have a listen if you haven't. It's very, very clever. Will you come back next week?
Will do. We'll have more questions probably.